Thanks for listening to the Gregor Show podcast. Are you looking for something unique? Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com. Ryan, a hell of a performance on Friday night. Very entertaining game. Oilers couldn't get the winner. And then they had a game that was fairly comfortable, albeit a 1-0 lead, and then saw that evaporate in a span of a minute and 9 seconds. And they come away with only 1 point in the weekend. So when wins are all that matters, you can't say it was that successful despite the entertainment on Friday night.
No, not a successful weekend at all. No question. I don't think anybody was trying to sell it like that. When you just look at the standings and look where the Oilers are and what they need right now, that was not a successful weekend. So if you take that into mind and then take a step back and look at the weekend in the big picture, how they're playing, I mean, they played really well against Pittsburgh. That was a really good effort, really good game, really exciting. And it's unfortunate for them they couldn't squeeze out the extra point. But if they do, you know, if that changes even just a little bit in a shootout, we're sitting here talking about splitting the weekend against Pittsburgh and Montreal, not so bad. The Montreal game, I mean, I don't think they played terrible, but I think Montreal played better. Montreal stuck to their game plan, and they were able to grind out a couple of points clean on the road, and that's big. So, yeah, not a great weekend for the Oilers, but overall, I think that their play, we're not talking about an absolute stinker they laid down in either of those games.
No, definitely not a stinker, for sure. There's been a lot of talk. Would you switch up the lines at all tomorrow?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how concerned they are about Draisaitl's minutes. It's funny, like Will asked me on the morning show today about Draisaitl's minutes, and you know, I think if you just look at the minutes that he's played this year, like this season, like he should be able to handle that. But what Todd said today, looking back over the summer and looking back over all the Olympics qualifier stuff that he played, the World Championship stuff, and he has played a tremendous amount of hockey. So if they're sitting there analyzing Leon's game and feeling like he's sluggish because of fatigue, then they might want to change things up a little bit, trying to run him. You know, I think Connor played like 18 or 19 minutes 5-on-5 in that game yesterday. So to try and continue to run Leon upwards of 20 minutes or more a night, night after night after night, if they know he's fatigued, might not be the best thing to do. Now, as a team, they're fairly well rested. So I don't know how much of an issue fatigue is for most of the rest of the players. I don't think it's an excuse for most of the other players. So really it comes down to how much they think is about fatigue. And if they make a move, I sense it will be based on that. But just to change the lines up to get different results, I'm not sure. I don't know that I would do that. I mean, who do you put in there? Like, if you put Cassian on that line, I don't believe they're going to produce as much. So why would you do that? And is Leon going to be put in a position to succeed with Desharnais and Pouliot or whoever you want to put down there? So I don't know. I just think if you make a move for the sake of making a move, you're not going to get as much production, and I don't know that I'd do that. If you got to do it to help Leon, then fine.
Yeah, I think the only reason you're doing it is for that, because the fact of the matter is Draisaitl has played more hockey than any other NHL player, right? As far as dressing in games, he was in August going back to the World Championships qualifying for Germany. Then he went to the World Cup. Now he's into the regular season, and obviously others have played more minutes. But I don't know if he's that fatigued, Ryan. When Draisaitl struggles, he is really hard on himself. Todd McClellan alluded to that again today, how he's got to learn to just, okay, move on from it, right? It's a good quality to have to hold yourself accountable, but you don't want to hold yourself accountable to the point where then you believe, oh, geez, now I can't make a play, right? I think he just needs to get a goal, and then he'll probably relax.
But the thing is that, I mean, playing 20 minutes a night on the wing is a lot different. I mean, I wonder if you were to ask a player, is it harder to play 21 minutes on the wing or 17 or 18 at center? And I bet most of them would tell you it's just as hard to play 17, 18 minutes as a center as it is to play 21 minutes as a right winger. So if they move him off that line, they're putting him back in the middle, correct? And he's going to get second line center minutes, I would have to assume.
So, well, no, I don't know. Are you going to play his line more than McDavid's or Nugent Hopkins? Can't play him all that many minutes.
Well, no, but maybe the solution, I mean, I don't think they're going to play him as a third center. I don't think they're going to, I mean, they're not going to cut him back to 14, 15 minutes, right? He's going to be 17 to 19 minutes, and that's playing on the second line. If they take him off of that line, he's going into the middle with other guys that can score. Like, they're breaking up the Eberle, Lucic, Nugent Hopkins line. So whether, you know, maybe they put Nugent Hopkins on the wing with McDavid. Maybe they...
Well, I can tell you right now, Todd said today he's not switching up the Nugent Hopkins line. They're just getting going. So I think if it happens in game, it's likely going to be a Pouliot or Cassian go up.
Yeah. And I don't know, to dump Leon down onto essentially what is a third line with a guy who, a center who's not. So you put him in the middle on the third line, and now who's he skating with? So what happens with Desharnais? What happens? Like, who's he playing with, and what are you expecting from him? So the answer to help Leon Draisaitl out is to put him with players that don't generate offense? Like, how is that helping anything? I don't understand it. Like,
well, if
they're that worried about fatigue, then let them rest for a game.
Yeah.
You'd be just as well off to do that. Like, I just don't get why you would put him on a line with guys that aren't players that generate offense and think that's going to be a solution for him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's also going to have a much easier matchup too, right?
I guess so, but I mean... Okay, so what does it look like then? So you would go, you'd stay Maroon and McDavid together, but then what? You go Cassie in there?
Yeah, you might try Cassie for a bit.
Then you keep the Nugent Hopkins line together, and then what do? Pouliot, Draisaitl in the middle, and Desharnais on the wing?
Why not?
Like, is that, I don't know. I get people are concerned about him, and I get...
like, all I know is you can... Pittsburgh proved last year for short term, not long term, but for short term, You can spread out certain guys different lines when Kessel played on their third line, and Draisaitl's maybe not even as productive yet as Phil Kessel, who's been a really good scorer by the time. But you know, ultimately that can help. Pouliot's a guy who might catch fire for 10 games. He's done, like, he's been ultra streaky guy at different times in his career. All I'm saying is, if I would do it, that's what I would do. I wouldn't touch the second line at all. They're finally going as individuals and as a trio. I would keep that. McDavid's going to produce regardless of who he plays with. Honestly, you look, albeit extremely small sample size, Cassian's 30 minutes with McDavid has been actually quite productive. I know it's only a small sample size, but I don't think Connor McDavid's game would change that much whether you played Cassian or Draisaitl with him just for a few games. I really don't think it would change that.
So how about this instead? How about rather than worrying about Draisaitl having to get out there every shift with McDavid and being 20 minutes at even strength, what about double shifting McDavid with some different lines? Like, what about backing off Draisaitl's 5-on-5 minutes by shifting Connor out there with the third line every once in a while, by moving Connor around, get Connor the minutes that he can handle, because Connor is in phenomenal shape and can handle 23, 24 minutes a night. So throw him out there with some other lines. If he's going to produce no matter he's out there with, who he's out there with, then increase the quality in Draisaitl's game by backing off his minutes and move McDavid out there. Put him out there in Desharnais' spot a few times. Who cares?
Well, you might deal with that. Like, right now, McDavid's playing 17 minutes and 35 seconds a night at even strength.
Right.
Right? Draisaitl plays 15:43, which is the second most amongst forwards on the team. And then Pat Maroon, of course, is third at 14:47, and Eberle and Lucic, they're all right there as well. So... I don't know if, to be honest, I don't know if I want to, McDavid's already playing 21 some minutes a night. I'm not sure I want to bust him up to 23 or 4 just yet.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is give McDavid the same number of minutes you're giving him right now. The problem is his wingers are having a hard time keeping up with him in those minutes, right? We're talking even strength. So if they're rolling them out there so much that Draisaitl's getting fatigued, then keep putting Connor out there. Just keep Desharnais on the bench. Keep Letestu on the bench. Like, roll him out there in other centers' spots, because he can handle the minutes, and then that'll allow Draisaitl to rest and Maroon to stay fresh. And I mean, you need to find a way to give Leon a little bit of a break without cutting back Connor's minutes, because he's producing and he can handle them. So maybe you start double shifting McDavid with some other lines. Maybe that's a solution to not have to split that line up, so that most of the night the most dangerous offensive look stays together.
Well, you know what, Shogar, you're onto something, because the last two games, that's exactly what's happened. The last two games, McDavid's played 23 and 26 minutes, and Draisaitl's played 20 and 23. So 3 minutes left each game.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I understand if there's concern about, and part of what I see in Leon's game is that he's the stops and starts aren't there, because I think, you know, if he's feeling that fatigue, he's not in the defensive zone, you know, the stops and starts that you want to see from a guy is circling instead. Stop and then get the big engine going. Like, get going. And his get up and go just isn't quite there the way it was before, those four or five really powerful strides to get himself started.
Cam Talbot, quite the weekend for him, stopped 65 of 69, and two of them went off his own players. Talbot definitely showing no signs of fatigue right now.
Yeah, well, and you made the point last week, and Todd has said it before too. Just, I mean, Cam plays well when he plays a lot, and maybe that's a recipe for late season trouble. I don't know, but a couple that at least one he might have wanted back against the Penguins, with the one that popped over his shoulder or trickled through him there that Connor accidentally ended up booting in off of him. But overall, quality of his play was pretty high on the weekend. So. Yeah, they got to just keep riding him. I mean, if he's going to continue putting together that level of goaltending. Now, his numbers have dipped a little bit in recent weeks, but so has the Oilers' play significantly, and they're going to be sort of married to each other a certain amount. But, keep rolling him out. He's their best chance to win every night. And, the rest of the schedule, the way it shapes up, I know Oilers fans are a little bit hair on fire after that weekend. But I love the fact that they have their destiny in their own hands. I mean, to be able to face the team that's chasing you down three times before the end of the year, is that just puts it right square in their pocket. And a playoff team gets four of those 6 points. A good, solid, quality playoff team finds a way to get half or more of those points.
Well, before then, they got three games against teams, definitely Dallas and Vancouver, teams you should beat at this time of year. And yep. And Boston's not a juggernaut. They're a good team, but they're no more dominant than the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, for sure. So there's some games where they can harvest, whatever you want to say, some points. And then, I mean, like the games against, they've got three against LA, right? So I think those are games where those should have playoff like feels to them. I mean, that should feel like a playoff game when you're taking on that team. And I mean, that game the other night against Pittsburgh, like that felt like a playoff game to me. That felt like there was an entirely different level of speed, physicality, an entirely different level that, I mean, that game was elevated to something we haven't seen very often. And so they can do it. It's there. And those games against L.A., the Oilers are the one who should be pushing that type of pace on the Kings, like Pittsburgh did to them. And they responded, and they elevated too. They need to be the aggressors in bringing that level of intensity to L.A., because I don't know that L.A. can handle them if they bring that kind of speed and physicality to them.
I would agree with that. The Kings are definitely not a fast team. They got a few fast guys, of course. Doughty will probably play 35 minutes in those games, but Oilers will be cheering for the Blues and the Penguins tonight. Shauger, have a good one. We'll talk anymore.
Okay, see you, pal.